So, Father, we just thank you for another just awesome time together, just in fellowship with each other tonight, Lord. We just ask that you bless the night. We thank you for just keeping our power and our internet connection. We bind up the principalities and powers from trying to bring any issues in the equipment or the software. And we just thank you for just guiding us tonight, Lord. Let us be pleasing to you. Let us edify each other. Just guide us as far as in the areas you want us to share. And we just thank you for just bringing forth just your truths tonight, your revelation, your dreams, your testimonies. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And we just bind up, you know, any spirits that would try to hinder anyone, any fear of man, anything like that, that would, you know, bind anybody up from just bringing forth what's on their heart. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we call tonight blessed. Amen. All right.
Mute me.
I can do that.
Good. Thank you.
We can do that. All right. So let's, does anybody want to pray for anybody or need prayer? We should start off with prayer.
Well, Tim, this is Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Satan's kind of been bothering me all day today with dizziness and stuff, but I'm rebuking it and I'm not accepting it. So I'm going to pray, and then I'd appreciate if you'd pray for me too. So,
all right.
Father, I thank you very much for keeping Satan under my feet, because that's where he is, and I know that. And I thank you, Lord, for giving us authority and power to defeat Satan. So evil spirits and demons of dizziness and sickness, I command you to leave me now and go in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father, so much. Praise you. Thank you.
Amen. So, Father, right now we just put our faith with Judy, and we just come against these demons that are trying to steal Judy's testimony, that are trying to, you know, bring any doubt or fear, and we just rebuke them now. We call this spirit off her now in the name of Jesus. We just rebuke this dizziness and this sickness in the name of Jesus, and we command it to go in Jesus' name. Satan, you get off her now in the name of Jesus, and we just thank you for this testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Judy, Trish shared with me that you guys were talking the other day, and you shared a testimony with her that you used to be on all kinds of drugs that would, and when this came on you, it would be, what, 3 weeks on the drugs?
Well, I would take, you have to, the thing is you had to take it before it got, the vertigo got real full blown. If it didn't, then it really didn't work. But then it just took you out for like 3 or 4 days. I mean, because the medicine made you tired and sleepy and really yucky. And I have not taken that. I'm defeating Satan on this. He's not going to get me on this. And I'm not taking the medicine ever again.
Amen. Okay, so that was it. That it was when you were on the medicine and all that, you'd be down for 3 days. Right.
Yeah.
And then you got an attack last week, and you just stood in faith, and you dealt with it for 3 hours,
right,
and it was gone.
Yeah.
So it went from 3 days on the medication to 3 hours, you know, standing in faith. And I just believe the enemy's trying to steal that, you know, from you, and that's why we've got to just stand fast, because you're healed, girl.
Yes, I am, and I'm not going to let him get it either. I'm healed, and I'm not under the curse, and I'm free.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I thought that was a great testimony. Yeah. All right, anybody else? Need prayer or have a testimony?
I guess I can do both. This is Dave.
Awesome. Hey, Dave.
Hi. Had a guy at work today. He went into a seizure, and he was in the break room, and I was down in the office. And so they they kind of called me down there, and I seen him. And we weren't sure at first of what it was, because we know he's a heavy drinker. And so he was going through, you know, flipping everywhere, and his eyes were up and down, in and out, and arms were moving around. We didn't know if he was having a heart attack or he was, you know, we didn't know. Because we know he's had heart attacks in the past. And he's probably only about 53. And so the first thing I knew is, well, we got to get an ambulance, because, you know, that's kind of out of our territory. So we made sure somebody got an ambulance coming. And then we made sure we got entrances covered, and I called my manager to let her know what was going on. And she told me, well, yeah, the guy's down in the front of the building. So I had to run down there in the front, because we were in the back and it's second floor, and had to run down on the first floor in the front of the office. And they already let this guy in. There was a fire department, you know, rescue. So by the time I got back upstairs, I didn't know where this fire department guy was, but I quick got back in the room, and we sat him down. We got his back, and somebody the whole time they were trying to, you know, talk him down and everything. And it's okay, Steve. It's okay. Stay with us and all that kind of stuff. And we got him down on his back, and I remember put my hand on his right shoulder, or I'd be his left shoulder. And I was facing him, and other guys on him, two other guys on my with me are kind of holding him a little bit. And both these guys are Christians, but they're not real like the Christians we are. They're Christian, but they don't have the understanding of how faith works. And so, not really knowing what I was dealing with, I just started saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, out loud, in the name of Jesus. I said that about 10 times, and all of a sudden, he got real calm, just, I heard him just breathe, and like his eyes closed, like he was just finally went into a sedative state, just relaxed. And then he opened his eyes, and everything was like he was back with us. And we were talking to him, and that's about the time I had to go back out and find out where these guys were. I explained to him what was going on, you know, that he wasn't with us for a while, you know, and that it's okay now. We got people coming, they take you to the hospital. We're not sure what's going on. But just by saying the name of Jesus about 10 times and saying it out loud, and those guys with me just, you know, holding on to them, touching them, it all went away. And so, you know, anyways, they took him away, and later they realized that he had a seizure. And so he comes back to work within a couple hours with his family, and he's got a release form saying he can come back to work in a couple of days. And of course, his release, he says, well, I won't be able to drive, so I have to have he's on a schedule from 3 in the morning till 11:30 in the morning. And he says, I need to have a schedule change from 7 in the morning till 3:30 so I can ride into work with somebody, because on Michigan, and if you have a seizure, you're not allowed to drive for 6 months after that point till it shows that you're not having seizures anymore. Well, that's the law, and they said, well, you can't drive, so he's trying to work out a situation where he can drive in now with somebody. And said, well, the work release form said he can go back to work, no problem. And I said, oh, okay. So I said, tell you what, you probably want to go home and get some rest. He said, yeah, you know, it's going to be a couple of days, you're going to be off. And I didn't say much more than that, because I really wasn't sure where this was going. So I called my boss up and told her everything. She says, you take their release form up to the nurse now. I said, okay. I didn't even know we had a nurse there. It's been so many years that we had one. So I took the release form up to the nurse and started explaining to her everything. And she says, well, you know, as long as he can come back to work and he's got a ride, there's nothing in the law that says you can't do that. Like, I was trying to keep him from coming. But I said, well, here's the other issue. I says, we work with a lot of high-power electricity sometimes, and he's going to be exposed to that. I says, he might be able to not be able to drive, but can be exposed to that as an individual and maybe have a seizure and be around high electricity, high voltage. She says, oh, her eyes got big then. It's like, and I said, I think you better talk to my manager and see what they've got to say about this, because she was trying to talk to me about what I was authority of doing. I wasn't going to take that. I just said, explain to our work environment and give her a little more information. And I said, my boss, I think you need to talk to her. And so I left, and my boss called me a short time after that and says he's not allowed to come back to work until he can prove that He's not a threat to himself or others in any way. Not threat meaning harm anybody because of his condition. And he has to have a written statement of why he was off work today, because he didn't finish his tour, so that we understand what we're dealing with. The thing was with this situation, it's a mixed blessing. I mean, by me saying the name of Jesus 10 times or so, he came out of it and he became lucid again, where he could talk, at least understand what we were saying, and before they took him away. But at the same time, now he's in a situation where he can't come back to work until he's got approval medically that says he can work with us in this environment, because it's just like a regular work environment. He's exposed to machinery that's moving and parts, and a dangerous environment where if he just kind of drops into it, he can get hurt, or killed. So that's in the maintenance way. That's what I'm in the maintenance. So I guess what I'm, even though I'm praising the Lord and saying, I wanted the testimony that, the name of Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus, from just saints praying over somebody, was able to bring him back. And it cast off this spirit of epilepsy, which I didn't know what I was dealing with, but it left him. But at the same time, now I got to pray for him that somehow he's given favor to come back to work, because I know he doesn't have the income to stay off for 6 months, like he can't drive. So I guess I'll offer that prayer up. Father, you know the situation. You've seen it all happen and unfold today, and it was all in your hands, how everything played out. But I'm now coming forward and offering up Steve and his family. You know the situation he's in, and he probably can't stay off work 6 months. He needs to work. So, Lord, I ask you to give him favor with the medical community and the post office so that he can return to work shortly and isn't off very long. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. And we agree. So that was good testimony. So, Father, we just hope that that planted some seeds in those other Christians that see the boldness and see the power of the name of Christ. And we just thank you, Lord, for just watering those seeds and bringing them into the fullness of what you have to offer. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, I wasn't bragging to myself, but I didn't hesitate to tell the other Christians, hey, this is what was happening, and this is what we did. And I said, all you have to do is be a vessel. That's all I was a vessel. I said, I'm not
Amen.
Special.
Oh, I know.
To let people know, to let them know,
But the thing is you've got understanding, and you know your authority, and, they're probably not there.
Well, being around the UBM helped. I got to give you guys, this is what brought me here, being with UBM. I couldn't have got it anywhere else.
Well, it's just iron sharpening iron. We're just all disciples, learners and followers, just trying to learn the word and walk as Jesus walked, and just walk by faith. And amen.
Absolutely.
All right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Who else has got a prayer or testimony you'd like to share?
Hey, this is Mike. I got a short one.
All right.
I was just listening before we got started to Michael Hare from last night, and it's always kind of amazing when you got a message that's like it's so timely, it's almost unbelievable. But yesterday when I got home, I had some old disease symptoms kind of come back on me. And I was casting it down and fighting it with the warfare. And I guess the testimony that I have is that it's become like business-like, kind of like fighting a war or having an argument, using Jesus' name and casting it down without having the fear or the kind of sense of dejection, that you're feeling like sick and you're wondering what's going to happen and all that. I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm just, casting it down and moving on to the next thing. And, that's real positive for me.
Yeah, that's kind of neat is you walk the walk, and it just builds you know, it just builds that confidence in you. And it's, you know, it's just, it's kind of neat because I see the same thing. It's like I get a pain and I just rebuke it and I just go on. I don't even worry about it, anything like that. Or tooth starts hurting or something and I just come against it. And then what happens? I forget about it. And I won't realize it until maybe it tries to come back again. And it might be a week later or 2 weeks later. I say, oh, no, I rebuked you, and I come against it, and it just goes. And it's just, you know, it's awesome. And, you know, in the past I would get, you know, pulled in. Well, you know, what could it be? I better look it up on the Internet, and, you know, it try to get, you know, it tries to pull you into fear and tries to pull you into the worry of the world and knowledge of man and all that, and now it's just, no, this isn't, I'm not accepting this, I rebuke it, and just pretty much go on, you know. So, but, you know, it starts with little things like a headache, and then he just kind of baby steps you into, you know, but when you're praying for your headache, you know, back then you probably don't have the faith for something else, but he just kind of walks you through that. That's all part of the walk. So it's kind of neat when you realize, wow, this is, you know, you look back a few years and thinking, you know, where you would have been and now where you're at. It's kind of neat. Amen.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a big temptation to kind of look and see what you think it might be. But I try to avoid, and I don't want to know what it might be.
Oh, yeah, that'll definitely sink your ship, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, I got something real quick that I prayed for that gentleman that I worked, you know, I worked with, and that had the knee that twisted his knee and couldn't walk. And I saw him yesterday. And, you know, right away I said, Matt, you're not even limping. And he knew where I was going. And he all of a sudden, he just starts that backpedaling. He goes, oh, I had it elevated and I've, you know, taken my Tylenol and all this stuff. And, you know, because, you know, I was trying to take it to glorify God and he just goes right to man. And he was just backpedaling and this. And, you know, it was just kind of funny, you know, as far as that. And then he was, we had to go up and down a bunch of stairs and I said, you know, and basically went up and down these stairs probably five or six times during the day. And I'd say, hey, Matt, you're not even having an issue getting up and down those stairs. Oh, yeah, but there's still a little bit of pain there. And so it was, so I give God the glory. You know, he doesn't want to accept it. Because of that religious spirit, but I just give God the glory. So, Father, we just thank you for just doing that awesome miracle in Matt, and we just ask that you just open his eyes to you and draw him in, Lord. I know you put me in his life for a reason, and Lord, I just ask you just guide me, and I just put my faith together with everybody tonight, and just pray for his true salvation, that he will just see the truth, that he will see your power, that he will see Christ in us, in me, and it'll just, you know, give him a hunger for more truth, give him a hunger to come into the kingdom and get out of the harlot. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, the other thing is last night before I went to bed, I was going to check the weather for today. And this radar came up, and there was this huge storm, and it was just this big red and yellow blob. And it was just heading, the center of this blob was just heading right for us. And I saw that, and a little bit of fear, you know, kind of tried to jump on me because it looked, this thing looked bad because it was like all red. It wasn't like spots of red. It was like this huge red and yellow blob coming our way. And it wasn't too far off, and maybe a half hour to an hour, and it was huge. So Trish saw it, and so we just prayed, and I said, Lord, we just, you know, split this storm, and we just come against any damage on the properties. You know, we come against any tornadoes, anything like that. We just pray the blood. And we just prayed over the other brethren in the area and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just awesome. And I laid down and went right to sleep. And I woke up this morning and I didn't hear a thing. I don't even know what happened last night. Usually if there's lightning and thunder, I'll wake up, you know, but I slept right through the night like a baby and got up. Things are a little bit wet. You know, didn't see any leaves blowing around or tree branches down or anything like that. And I was like, thank you, Lord. That was kind of neat. So just pray and enter the rest. So, amen. All right, anybody else have anything to share, anything that's on their heart?
Tim?
I have a kind of a testimony and prayer request. We don't have our house up for sale right now, but we've been seeking the Lord and about how we should sell it and this past Monday, a guy stopped here and he was wanting to put his name on the list as a potential buyer because he's watched this house go up from when he was a kid. So, anyhow, how it came about that he stopped by is his boss told him that we were thinking of moving, and that happened because Philip is working with his company to do some blacksmithing for them. Warned them that, you know, he may not be here forever. So this guy shows up and says he'd like to see the house. So that's cool. We take his name and number. And then the next day, I run into him, Philip and I run into him at the lumber yard, which that was a divine appointment. And today, we're out walking, which we don't do very often, and he happens to be driving by with his kids. And stops and talks and getting a raise at work that would enable him to probably afford the house. So it's really looking like all might work out. So praise the Lord. So prayer on getting this house sold.
Amen. You want to pray, or you want us to pray?
I'll go ahead and pray.
Okay.
Holy Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, Father. This is going to happen, Father. Then we ask you. Your will, your timing.
Hey, Stan, we've you faded out on us.
Oh.
So for some reason, your phone seemed to be fading in and out while you were praying. But so we put our faith with Stan. Lord, you know his prayer. Father, if he's supposed to sell his house, that you're going to open the door, Lord. You're going to give favor with this man. If he's the one that's supposed to buy this house, you're going to give him favor with the finances, favor with the bank. And, Lord, it's going to be in your timing. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And if he's not the one and this isn't the time, we just ask you to close the door. But if it's the time, Lord, we just thank you for just working quickly, Lord. Just bringing it about. We thank you in Jesus' name. We just ask you to open doors as far as we're standing. And Claudia and their son are supposed to move and provide a new home and a new building for them, and just a perfect, perfect place. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord.
Amen. I agree. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Marlon or Gano, you guys are.
Yeah, I have a praise report.
Awesome.
Seems like there isn't hardly a day goes by anymore that the Lord doesn't give us a chance to use our faith. I went to town yesterday. I took my pickup, and before I went, I added some antifreeze because it was a little low. And I don't know if I didn't get the cap on right or what happened, but when I got to town, my pickup, when I slowed down, my pickup was smoking and steaming, and I pulled in a station there, and I had a flatbed behind, and as I pulled in there, it quit because it was so hot, and I tried to start it, and it wouldn't turn over. It was just so hot, and that flat was kind of in the driveway, you know, and people honking, and you kind of get excited, and I'm trying to figure out what to do, and but there wasn't really anything I could do right then, so I went and got some antifreeze and put it back in, and it had just boiled it all out. It had got so hot. Everything was all wet under the hood. And I got the antifreeze in finally, and I tried to start it, and it kind of like it acted like it wanted to start, but it wouldn't start. And I tried and tried, and the battery was starting to go dead. And finally I remembered, I didn't command it to, I remembered David saying he commanded his car to start in Jesus' name. And I'd done that, and the first time I turned it over, it took right off and ran. And then I thought, well, as hot as it was, I hope it didn't ruin the motor, because a lot of times when it gets that hot, it'll crack a head or a block or something. And so I just thanked the Lord that it was going to be okay, that there wouldn't be nothing wrong with the engine. And it ran, so I drove it on home. And I checked it this morning just to make sure that any more didn't leak out. And it was full, so I'm just believing that the Lord took care of it, and I just praise Him and thank Him for that.
Awesome. Yeah, He gives us opportunities all the time, and sometimes you miss His opportunities, but that's a great testimony. All right, who else has got something to share?
Hi, Dave Town.
All right, Missy.
I just share just a little bit of something. After I listened Sunday night to the Bible study, that night I just had this little snippet of a dream where I was in a prayer meeting, and I don't remember who was there, but I know it was in a prayer meeting, and I'm guessing it's with you all. Anyway, because I was just like, I know others had prayed and stuff, and I was just laying down, and I was like all curled up. I was like all nice and comfy. I just remember being all curled up, and I was just praying, and I don't remember everything that I prayed, but it was a real heartfelt prayer. You know, I could just like, when I woke up, I still had that feeling of, anyway, but I remember praying something like about asking the Father that everyone would take it to heart what David is teaching about fasting. It was basically, that was kind of the gist of that part I remembered, but it was just like, it was just this really heartfelt prayer about that, you know, Lord, that everybody take this to heart. So I just thought I would share that. And then I got up in the morning and all, and I think I'm pretty sure that was Monday morning. Anyway, or maybe it was Tuesday then. I think it was Tuesday then. Anyway, I got up Tuesday then, and I had decided that I was going to fast. Well, I don't know, the enemy just really started, I know that I still have, I know I don't see our Heavenly Father in the way that I should completely yet. You know, I know that's part of condemnation and rejection there yet that I struggle with, and legalism too, because legalism brings in condemnation because, you know, you can't be good enough, you know what I mean?
Good morning.
Anyway, so, but, you know, there's just, the enemy was feeding me these lies, like, the enemy had me in this works mode about the whole fasting thing, and that I know the Lord's made me some promises concerning my husband and stuff like that, and it was just like the enemy was like telling me that I don't even know how I even got in this mood, because when I think about it now, I'm like, boy, how did I even get there, you know? But he was just like telling me that it was all up to me, and, you know, if things don't happen, like the Lord showed me, or you know, or if this promise that the Lord's given me concerning my husband and stuff, that basically it's my fault, you know. But anyway, so I was like in this fear and anxiety mode and everything, and then I realized then, remember I had y'all, I prayed that you'd agree with me, because I started getting this sinus cold thing or whatever, and I realized then that it was because of this anxiety and fear and all this stuff that the enemy was putting on me. And so then I ended up, you know, repenting over all that. And it's like, you know, the Lord showed me that, well, I know I still, like, sometimes I feel like, you know, like when I mess up, it's like the Father's waiting to whack me one, you know, or something. And it's like when I think about, you know, what happened with me getting in fear and anxiety and stuff like that, and rather than standing on the Lord's promises, and I was like getting discouraged and all that. It's like the Lord showed me He didn't do this to me. I did it to myself by letting the enemy take advantage of me, you know, I've been asking the Lord, Father, to help me understand His love for me more and more, and it's like when I go through stuff like this, kind of, you know, it's like it hits it home to me more and more, you know. You know, just ask. It's like repent, and you know, it's almost like, you know, there's this pride thing, you know, or whatever, like repenting, or you know, this self righteous thing, or I don't know quite how to explain it, but it's like the Father. It's like He says it's all right, you know. You can repent. It's no big deal, you know. It's almost like repenting. I don't know how to explain it. It's like feeling condemned at the same time when you're repenting. It's like this enemy wants you to feel condemned and rejected at the same time when you're repenting. And it's like the Father, you know, showed me that, you know, He's full of mercy and grace and love. And anyway, that dream that David shared, you know, I had listened to that again not too long ago, now I need to listen to it again, you know, because it was really good about, it was called Rejection Lied, Father Loves Me or whatever. But anyway, so I got it this morning, and I asked the Lord to play the songs that he wanted me to hear. And the first one that came on was Enemy's Camp, He's Under My Feet. And it was just like, the Lord was telling me that the other day, the enemy's under your feet, you know. Don't let him walk all over you. You walk on him, you know. But anyway, so that was the first song that played was Enemy's Camp. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. I really enjoyed singing that with y'all because I can really say that. Look what the Lord's done in me. So then the next song was How Can I Keep From Singing? How Can I Keep From Singing Your Praise? I know I'm loved by the King, you know. And I was just like, I knew, you know, the Lord was just really speaking to me in these songs. And then the next song was How Deep the Father's Love. It's just like, you know, it was just really touched me with those three songs. And then the next song was this little short song, it's a piece out of Psalm 51 where David repents, and it's a little song by Fernando Ortega, and it says, open my lips, O Lord, I can't think how it goes, he will not despise a broken spirit and a contrite heart. These he will not despise. It's just a real short thing, you know. It was just like, wow, you know, just in those four songs, you know, the Lord just really touched my heart and really helped me to know how much he does love me, and he won't deny us any good thing, and that, you know, I don't even need to feel condemned or rejected or anything. I mean, so he's not standing there wanting to pound me saying, repent, you know, or whatever. But he's mm-hmm. there with open arms, just like the father and the prodigal son, you know, kind of thing. But anyway, that just really touched my heart. And actually, it's, you know, just telling you all about it, just touches my heart even more than what it did this morning. So, anyway, thank you, Father, for your love.
Amen. Yeah, I think the thinking that the Father is waiting to, you know, stomp on you or, you know, I think that comes from rejection, because I used to feel like that. That he's mm-hmm. just setting me up. He's just setting me up to, you know, to spank me, you know, to. As far as that, it's just and the same thing with, you know, repenting. I mean, he just. I mean, overcomers. You know, they just repent. They see that they messed up. They see that, you know, they were doing, and. But the enemy doesn't want you repenting, you know, because what you're doing is he doesn't want you walking in that, so he tries to get you into condemnation and get your eyes mm-hmm. on yourself. And, you know, we do open the door, you know, and we're, mm-hmm. you know, in works or in fear or in doubt or in pride or walking in the mind of the flesh. I mean, we get into sin or we don't forgive or whatever it is. I mean, we do open the door. I mean, we're the ones that, you know, open the door and say, hey, come on in.
And, yeah.
But when we see it, we just need to repent And, you know, that's really changing our ways. I mean, changing our mind. And, you know, the enemy just makes you think like, yeah, see, look what you did again. And he always tries to make you feel bad if you repent. But the bottom line is, you don't, you know, your heart is not to walk like that. And the mind of the flesh and the enemy just keeps trying to pull us down. And when we see it, we just change our mind. We just, you know, that's really what it is. But, you know, but I think that the, you know, combination and stuff like that, just to pull the enemy.
Last night what David was sharing, I forget where it was he was reading, but he was reading and it was like this one chapter kept, it was talking about Israel's history of rebelling and then repenting and then rebelling and then repenting and then rebelling and then repenting. And David was saying about, you know, basically how, you know, long-suffering the Father is. I'm not sure if he really said that, but that's what I saw, you know, how long-suffering the Father is with us and how much he does love us. And as soon as we repent, I mean, really, truly repent, then he, you know, he brings us up out of that pit, you know. And that just, when he was sharing that, that just really spoke to me. I saw that in that light, as far as that goes, as compared to how he was really, he's the main point of what he was sharing that for. But anyway, about fasting and everything. But and it's like, we can only love the Father as much as what we understand of his love for us, you know? And it's like, okay, Father, I want to understand more. I really want to see it more. Because I want to love him more. I want to, because it's only out of that love can I be more obedient and walk in the Word and in his promises and all, and know that they are mine, and it's all by grace. It's nothing that I can do. It's already done. It's already finished, like Jesus said.
Amen. Yeah, because his love is agape. I mean, he loves us no matter what, and we're the ones who walk away from him, and we try to understand his. We try to understand his love by the love that we see or with the love we grow up in. And I grew up in a house that had really very little love. And I grew up with a father who was a very disciplinary. My mom was a disciplinary. And that's how I saw God. I didn't understand love. And I'm just coming into the understanding of love, to be honest with you. My love was conditional. You be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You meet my needs, I'll meet your needs, whatever. And, you know, that's worldly love. His love is, I mean, he loves us no matter what. And, you know, he's saddened when we stumble, fall down, walk away, you know, but it's us doing it. You know, he's given us free will. And, but if you've got the heart to repent, as soon as you repent, man, it's a new day. In his eyes, it's just, it's all gone. But the enemy, look how, you know, look what you did. Why did you do that? You shouldn't have done that. Why did you say that? And the enemy is the accuser. And we start listening to that and get our eyes off of God. And, you know, that's what he does. So that's why we've got to stand strong in the Word and just take our those carnal thoughts captive and say, no, if I repented, it's all done.
Yeah.
Go.
You know, when you said about falling down, that just reminded me of the this one part of that song, How Can I Keep From Singing? And I love this part, you know, and it shows in this, it shows, you know, the Lord's love, not just, you know, the one, How Can I Keep From Singing showed Jesus' love, and How Deep the Father's Love, that song showed the Father's love, spoke of the Father's love. So that was so cool. But I used to sing that song all the time. Actually, when I was down there, and Belinda took us on a hike up past Gold River Falls, on the way back through, it was funny because we had to watch how we were stepping, you know. And there's a part in the song that reminded me of our walk along there, and it goes, I can sing in the troubled times, sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my steps and I fall down again. I can sing because you pick me up, sing because you're there. I can sing because you hear me, Lord, when I call on you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath, sing, oh, I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. I just love that. It just, like, builds and builds, and it's just, that is such a pick-me-up song.
That's a great song.
I love that
Amen.
Song. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, I'm done.
All right.
Love you all. God bless you. Go ahead, Tim.
Good night. Yeah, what Dave was talking about, the fasting, that the army was fasting before they went to war, you know, it was like, I mean, that's the last thing you do in the natural is, you know, if you're going to go, you know, fight a battle, is to, you know, fast your body. You want as much strength as you want in the natural, but, you know, I thought that was a great, you know, example is when you're up against something, you're up against a battle, and just to enter into a fast. And that's that comes against what the world, you know, thinks, but it's that's where you, you know, put your flesh down, get weak in the flesh so God can do a miracle. I thought that was a great type as far as that.
Yeah, so. I thought that was neat too. It just kind of makes you go tilt. You know?
Amen.
Our natural minds, but, yeah.
All right. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Hey, Belinda, I had muted you. I'm going to take the mute off if you can mute your phone. It's not letting me unmute you. Hey, Michael, are you able to unmute Belinda?
Let me see.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I got a new phone, so I wasn't sure how to do it myself. Thank
All
you,
right.
Lord.
Are you muted now?
I just unmuted. Did you need me to mute back?
Oh, no, unless you want to share something. Do you have anything
to
share?
Oh, no, I thought you wanted to talk to me or something.
No.
I heard
some noise in the background, so I muted you. So I just want to let you know I was going to unmute
you.
Oh,
I thought I was muted.
Well, just go ahead and mute again.
Yeah, let me try it again and make sure it works.
All right. I can't hear you. All right, so it must be working. All right, does somebody else have something they'd like to share? Any thoughts on fasting? I mean, David's been talking a lot about fasting and
well, you know, we've gotten a lot of words that the Lord has talked to us about fasting and praying now. Still getting word on it. Got some this morning, matter of fact, didn't we, Belinda?
I think that was a yes.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was fasting and I was going to fast through the Friday night meeting. And usually I'll break the fast in the evening or, you know, so I decided, well, you know what, I was going to come home and make a sandwich or something. I decided not to do that. And I got up the next morning. I thought, well, actually, I'm not really that hungry. And I ended up, we were planning on going out to dinner that night. And I just basically stayed on the fast, you know, that whole day. And it was no big deal. It was just kind of neat. It was, you know, you kind of get over that hump it was no big deal. It was kind of easy. So it was kind of neat. All right, who's got something else to share? Well.
So.
Who's that? Hello?
Sue.
Is that Sue?
Yep, it's me. Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I remember, I think it was last week or the week before when you prayed for me, because I was having a struggle as to what the Lord wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I had a dream, and I had a dream I was with some other believers, and we were driving in a car, and we were going somewhere, so that kind of like, that was kind of a help. And I got a scripture, about it was Ezekiel 44:24, and it said, they shall sanctify my Sabbath. They shall also keep my laws and my statutes and all my appointed feasts, and they shall sanctify my Sabbath. And I felt like, okay, Lord, does this mean I'm to be with the saints, you know, of course. And then I got Ecclesiastes 9:4, for there is hope for whoever is joined to all the living. Surely a living dog is better than a dead lion. So that's Ecclesiastes. And then Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand on the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. That's Psalm 1:1. And I guess the biggest struggle I have is just leaving the kids, you know. Because I know the situation is not to the best of my desire on how everything is here, you know. And I just have to have, Lord has to just give me the strength to be able to just do it, you know. But I've had also some opening to be able to give some scripture to Bernie, which was surprising recently. I was able to get to talking about the Lord's provision, you know, in the end times and everything. Don't remember exactly how we got in that subject, but I later on, after we had that conversation, we're talking about God's provision. And yeah. Oh, it's just good. Okay, good. All right, thanks. That was my grandson. And I asked the Lord, I said, if he could give me a word that relates to what we were talking about. And I got 2 Corinthians 27:5, and it related to God providing to do with Jotham. He means Jehovah's perfect. I was looking it over and how Jotham, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but anyway, he overcame the children of Ammon. And I looked that up to see what Ammon meant, and it meant incest was son relating to the son of Lot. And I thought, wow, I wonder if this is something I need to share with with Bernie, you know, because it came not long after, you know, I asked the Lord for a word. And there had been some relatives in his life that there had been some, you know, improper, you know, there was some incest, I guess, in the relatives with the relatives. And so that, and, you know, and I spoke that to him. I was reading that scripture to him, and I spoke that to him. And I said, because, you know, it shows, it looked like Jotham, because he overcame the children of Ammon, the Lord provided him through them 3 years of wheat and barley. I thought that was kind of neat, the way the Lord had brought that scripture after we had talked about how the Lord would provide.
That's awesome.
And so I shared that scripture with him, and he was receptive. I shared it with him and my daughter. Receptive. But I do have a prayer request for him.
Okay.
He didn't ask me, and but he told my daughter, and I know he's been having some physical problems. Couldn't do much today because he had to stay close to the bathroom. And he said, if this doesn't get taken care of, he told his wife, if this doesn't get taken care of, I'm going in the hospital on the weekend. And I didn't know whether to ask him for me to pray, because normally, I mean, he doesn't even ask, and I don't know if that's what that is, if that's pride. And he's seen me pray with his daughter many times, and with the boys, so I don't know what the deal is, but in any case, at times I'll say to him, if he's having a health issue, I'll say, well, I've been praying for you, you know, like that to him.
Yeah, a lot of times in a case like that, I mean, I'll just go ahead and just say, hey, let's go ahead and pray, or, you know, do you mind if I pray for you? And, you know, just try to make it, you know, sometimes I just start praying. But, you know, I mean, he knows who your faith is. It's just that spirit that's on him, you know, whatever it is. So, hey, Belinda, I don't think you're muted.
Yeah, there's some noise in the background. I don't know what that's from.
That's Belinda.
Sorry, guys, this new phone. let me try it again.
All right.
All right. I did talk with my daughter about it, because she didn't tell me that he was thinking of going to the hospital. He told her, and so we prayed together for him. No.
All right.
Like,
well, do you want to go ahead and pray for him, and we'll just we'll just join our faith with yours.
Amen. Well, Lord, Father, just journey to you, Lord, and I just ask that you would help his body to cover whatever's coming against his body and his vessel tract, Father. I just break the power of the enemy from his body, whether it's a curse, Father, because you know there's been intestinal problems in the family. That's been a curse, and I break the power of the curse over his body in that area as well, in Jesus' name. And Father, I just thank you for the healing to him, that he won't have to go to hospital, and that he would recognize that you're the one that healed him, that you are the healing one. You are the physician, the great physician that he needs, Lord, not the man and not the world. Thank you, Father, and I praise you for that, Jesus.
Amen. So, Father, we put our faith together with Sue, and we just thank you, Lord, that give her boldness to, you know, just step out and pray for Bernie, and we just thank you that you just work in him, bring him to truth, Lord. We just bind up whatever the spirit is on him, the Antichrist spirit that is, you know, against you, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for his salvation, Lord, that you grant him a renewed mind, that you grant him repentance, and that you will just give him a hunger for your truth, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you could use this situation to see your power, and that he will see you in it, and that will just be a see this planet. And Lord, we just ask you, just guide Sue. You know, she's supposed to move, or she's supposed to, you know, do something with that house, or that you'll just you know, show her and give her the boldness to move on what you're showing her, and not to be led by her emotions, and not to be, you know, led by her flesh, but to just to be led of you, Lord. So, Lord, we just ask you, just help her to just walk in the Spirit, be led by you, and to be in the rest. Know that you're going to take care of situations if she's obedient to you, Lord. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Father. Thank you, Lord.
All right, anybody else? Any dreams? Any revelations that God's shown you? I'll share a... who is that? Is that Michael Green?
Yeah, that was me. I was going to come on in. I can... We're getting
close to
finishing up on Abraham.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So as you guys might remember, we're coming up on the birth of Isaac. But first, we go through Genesis 21, which is where Isaac is born. And actually what I meant to say before is we're coming up on the sacrifice of Isaac. But in Genesis 21, that's Genesis 22. Genesis 21 is when Isaac is actually born. And Hagar, the bondwoman, is cast out. And the Lord visited Sarah and... gave her a timetable for when Isaac would be born. The name Isaac means he laughs, because most people kind of remember that Sarah laughed when the Lord told her that she would have a child, but Abraham also laughed. When Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 and Sarah was approximately 90. The idea that the man child is older than the bride, 10 years older than the bride, that may have something to do with the end times. I'm not sure about that. Isaac, of course, was circumcised, cut off the old man on the 8th day. That's after 7 days. Isaac, the next thing we hear is that Isaac was weaned. That's an interesting detail because it adds 3 more years to the age of Ishmael, making him approximately 16 years old. So he's a teenager. Most people probably have the idea that he was still a baby when Hagar was sent away the second time, but actually he was going on towards being a man. So at some point after... Isaac is weaned, Sarah sees Ishmael playing with Isaac. Some people interpret that word as mocking, as somehow he was threatening. But according to the law, the Oriental law at that time, because Ishmael was the son of the bondwoman, he was not allowed to inherit with the legitimate son. So him being there, he couldn't inherit. I think Sarah kind of saw him as a possible threat down the road. So it was probably the best thing to send them on. And when Sarah, she didn't have the power to tell her to leave. Once again, that's according to the Oriental tradition at the time. She had to ask Abraham. to tell her to leave. And Abraham did so after God told him to obey Sarah and do that and send Hagar away. But of course, we know that God made promises to Hagar and Ishmael, and they were saved and blessed for Abraham's sake. We also know that Ishmael was the father of 12 princes. That was the promise. You know, I kind of thought, I realized at a certain point that I only thought of Ishmael's offspring as being enemy tribes that eventually became Muslims, but it was pointed out in one of the studies I read that some of these people would eventually become some of the Gentile Christians that we even read about in the Bible. You know, so you should kind of keep an open mind as to who was who in this time, because it seemed like the saved and the unsaved both were born of the same father, that being Abraham, and some of the enemy tribes also came from Lot. So the picture for this, the thing we have to realize, is the second time by my lights in the Bible where the second son was chosen to be blessed over the first son. The first time that I could remember offhand was Cain and Abel. And you remember that Cain made a sacrifice that represented his works, stuff that he grew on the ground. And most people see it as kind of a sacrifice of pride, look at me, etc. And Abel's sacrifice was the things, the animals, the things that grew of themselves. He was giving back to God what God gave him. And the going back to Hagar, it appears, now you remember the first time that Sarah asked Hagar to leave, it was because Hagar had become prideful because she had had a child and Sarah hadn't. But it's a possibility that Ishmael had inherited some of Sarah's pride, and that was one of the things that, some of Hagar's pride, and maybe that was one of the things that Sarah found off-putting or possibly even threatening. We get to the end of this chapter. Abimelech, the king of what became the Philistines, comes back into the picture, and apparently he had heard there had been a dispute between Abraham and some of his local shepherds, and they made a covenant over the well that Abraham had dug, and there was a sacrifice of seven lambs representing the sevenfold oath that they made at Beersheba, and that is apparently a word play on the word oath and the number seven in Hebrew. And what he did, he gave those lambs to Abimelech to signify his innocence. And of course, we know that the lambs are innocent. So that brings us to Genesis 22. This is where Isaac is offered as a type of Christ by Abraham. And the thing that I think I had never noticed before was that Isaac had to be compliant with this action because he was big enough and old enough that he could have run away instead of going along with the program. And the big thing that we draw from this is that Abraham was obedient and faithful. And when I looked at this, I kind of realized this is probably one of the most important things to happen in the Old Testament, because God told Abraham to do something on a human level that he would do on a cosmic spiritual level later on, and it's kind of like Abraham had to be willing to do what God was going to do for us with Jesus, and that was his test. It starts out, and it's called a test. And the interesting thing that this is one of the four times apparently in the Old Testament where God asks somebody to please do something. There's a word there that isn't interpreted in most Bibles. I found it in one of mine in Young's Literal Translation. In Genesis 22:2, it says, "And he saith, Take, I pray thee," that's the word please, "thy son, thine only one, whom thou hast loved, even Isaac, and go for thyself unto the land of Moriah, and cause him to ascend there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I speak unto thee." And like I say, it appears to be that a man had to be willing to do what God was going to do for us. And it is a future picture of basically all of the animal sacrifices, as well as the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus. After the weakness that the spiritual and faithful weakness that Abraham seemed to have shown when he said that Sarah was his sister to, you know, avoid any problems from maybe people trying to kill him to get her, Abraham turned out, of course, as we know, to be 100% faithful. He had learned faith by the time this order from God comes around. And it's kind of a picture of our tribulation in that, you know, the things that we go through, as it says in the New Testament, it builds patience and faith when we learn to go through our tribulation. So Abraham completely complied with the orders that God gave him. The thing that he did, which is very interesting, was that it doesn't really say it in the story, but what he did was he believed in the first promise that God gave him, actually over and over again, that Isaac would be his prosperity. And he knew at that point that if he obeyed, no matter what happened, God would make it turn out okay. So they go to the mountain. It's a three-day trip to the mountain. Of course, the 3 days points to the resurrection. Abraham's faith when they got there was shown, Genesis 22:5. He said to his servants, "Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and will come to you again." So in other words, he had no doubt that no matter what happened, somehow he was going to come back and Isaac was still going to be alive. So Isaac carried the wood up the mountain, showing that he was, in fact, a teenager. He's walking up the mountain with a load of wood in his back. And, of course, that's a picture of him carrying his own cross. Isaac does ask on the way up the mountain, "Hey, Father, where is the lamb?" And Isaac, you know, basically says, you know, "Just come on, we'll figure it out when we get there." So after the fire is built, Abraham binds Isaac and puts him on the fire. And as I said, Isaac had to be compliant because you can imagine he could have run away into the desert, and then Abraham was an old man. He probably couldn't have caught him. So they probably had some kind of discussion on the way there that, you know, no matter what happened, they had to obey God and believe in faith. Abraham got all the way to the point of wielding the knife, and the angel said from heaven, "Stop, for now I have known that thou art fearing God, and hast not withheld my son, thy only one from me." And of course, God is asking us if we are willing to give up all of our quote-unquote important worldly things to serve his will. Then, of course, the ram out of nowhere showed up tangled in the thicket. In other words, it's being held there for him. And the ram is a substitutory sacrifice, just like Jesus was for us. Genesis 22:16, God says to Abraham, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." Meaning that the Hebrews would take over the land, and just like us, Jesus would bind the strong man. Jesus would be the end point of this, and he would bind Satan on the cross and cast him down. The last part of it says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And Abraham, as we know, like David always says, is the father of all the saved, the flesh Hebrews as well as the spiritual Hebrews. The last few verses show the pedigree of Rebekah, who was to become Isaac's wife. And I think I'll be able to finish it up the next time. Thanks.
No, that was good. The interesting thing is you know, when you pointed out that Ishmael was like 16 years old, I always pictured Sarah with this little baby, you know, going into the desert. And, you know, it's kind of neat when you see, when you're able to pull out truths like that and see that, you know, it wasn't a little baby. It was, you know, he was 16 years old. So he was talking and carrying on with his mom. And you know, we see it as, you know, a little child, unless you... You're Berean and you're digging into the word like that. So it's kind of cool. Kind of, you know, changes the whole aspect of that. The other thing is the thing with Cain, as far as, you know, his works were out of the ground, which are his earthly or fleshly works, and they weren't accepted. So that was kind of neat. And how Isaac had to be compliant, and how Abraham was obedient to the word of God. And that's really what we need to be, is, you know, compliant and obedient to the word of God. And he gives us his word in a book. And that's where the obedience starts, is right there. That's his word being brought forth, and we need to walk in obedience to that. And how the angel said that was fearing God, and that's something that's huge, because a lot of Christians have no fear of God. So it's, and they don't have the obedience, and they're not, you know, compliant to the word of God. And so it's a great type as far as for for us, as far as just being obedient, walking in compliance, doing what, you know, God says, knowing that he's in control, that he's sovereign, and, you know, he's going to work things out. Even though, it's a test, we may not see it as a test, or we're in a tribulation, and our flesh is just screaming out. But, if we're compliant to that word, that's all he wants from us, and that's faith. That's what faith is all about, and that's where Abraham, received the grace of God through his faith in God. So that's a great type. So,
hey, Tim.
Yeah, well, one act of obedience is like, has cosmic significance for everybody, forever. That's really the amazing thing about it. There's just so much information there.
Awesome. I appreciate you digging in and bringing that forth. Hey, Michael Hare.
Yeah. Michael Green, I just wanted to encourage you, brother. I look forward to your Bible studies every week because you have a gift to bring out the natural and the spiritual in those scriptures. And also bring out some historical points that we may or may not know about the people involved and the times involved. It's just really, it's always interesting to me to listen to what you have to teach on. So thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. All right, does anybody else have... something on their heart?
I have a question, please.
All right, Jackie.
I just wanted to amen what Michael Hare said about Mike Green. And I was wondering if these are going to be posted, because I've really been blessed by them, too, each time I've heard them. And it's the simplistic way that the Lord's using him to explain it that's been blessing me. But I was wondering if they were all going to be posted, like, in order, you know, so I can go back and listen, or do we just get on the conference call and find them where he speaks?
Well, Jackie, that's a good question, and I hadn't even thought about it, but yes, we can. I'm glad you brought it up, because that would be, that'd be a great tool. So I'll see about getting those on the in the miscellaneous.
Amen. That would be good, because I've been wanting to ask each week, and then I've just been kind of listening and waiting and waiting, and I thought maybe I missed something where he had said, you know, where they would be posted or something, but I really think it would bless a lot of people.
Oh, I do too. I do too. So, yeah, that's a good idea. If that's all right with Michael Green.
I will get with you about that, because I've got this stuff written out. You know, maybe I could probably brush it up a little bit so it would read better. But, I mean, it could be audio and the text could be with.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would. Yeah, I think the only one that wouldn't bless is Brad, who has to go back and cut them all out.
Well, it doesn't take him long, though. It doesn't take him long. Because I have to tell him where the audio is, and all he's got to do is go there and cut it out. So that's not a big deal.
Okay. Well, what we could do is we could keep track of, you know, approximately how far into it when you know, when Michael Green comes on, and yeah, you know, that way we can just cut those out, and then you can do a compilation.
Sure.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So, hey, Jackie, that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, it was.
So,
hi.
Praise the Lord.
Hi.
All right. Was that somebody else?
This is Barbara. I was thinking the same thing Jackie brought up. And I would like
awesome.
I would like text form. Hi. I would like to be able to read it and see it in text form. I was thinking the same thing that she had brought up.
All right. Well, we'll make it happen.
That sounds good. We'll put Michael Green to work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was really, really good. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Anybody else got anything? Well, I found a thing on, yeah, actually this is from Milton Green, another Green. This is a paper on the fiery trials. And I started reading this, and I saw some other things in there that he didn't, you know, he didn't point out, but it was kind of interesting to me. But I'll just, he starts off with 1 Peter 4 and 12, and it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials among you, which come upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened unto you. But insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, rejoice, that at the revelation of his glory, also you may rejoice with the exceeding joy. If ye are reproached for the name of Christ," and, you know, I see that as, you know, if we're approached with, because of his nature in us, or his character manifested through us, or because we're walking in his authority, it says that blessed are ye because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resteth upon you. So I see that as, that, you know, the Spirit of glory is, you know, that's, you know, Christ's Spirit and the Holy Spirit, you know, rests upon us. And because of those spirits resting upon us, if we're manifesting his nature and character and walking in his authority, that we're going to be reproached. And it's not necessarily going to be from, you know, the world. We're going to be reproached from other people that call themselves Christians. And, you know, that, you know, see something different in us, you know, as far as that. So 15 says, "For let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler in other men's matters. And I thought that was kind of interesting because he's putting a, you know, a busybody or a meddler in others' affairs in the same class as a murderer, a thief, and an evildoer. And I was just thinking about that is you know, why is he grouping them together? And I saw that a meddler in other men's matters, you know, if you're, you know, constantly watching other people or, you know, in other people's matters, I mean, this is a distraction, you know, worrying about others or judging others, you know, in their walk or what they're doing or, you know, how they're acting and or what they're saying, you know, stuff like that. It's just like, you know, why are you focused in on others? I mean, you need to be focused in on your race. So when we're focused in on others, it gets us out of our race and we become a spectator or a commentator and are no longer running our race but focusing on others. And, you know, he's classifying us as a no different than an evildoer, a thief, or a murderer. So I was just kind of, when I saw that, it was like, wow, that's you know, that was kind of interesting. I don't know if anybody else has any thought on that, you know, as far as why he's, you know, meddler of other man's matters. Does anybody have any other revelation on that? Or anything the Lord might have shown them? All right, but it says, but if a man suffers as Christ or as a Christian, and I see that as in your walk as a doer and not just a hearer, you know. I mean, it's a true manifesting Christ-like. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. And that's the name of Christ, or walking Christ-like. And it goes on, for the time has come for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins first at us, we shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God. And it's, he's saying it right there. Where does it start? It starts at the house of God with us. And it's, he says, and what shall be the end to them that do not obey? You know, so it's about the obedience, you know, obey the gospel, obey what God is showing us or what Mike was bringing out, you know, obeying God. And, you know, seeing that is, you know, you've got to know the gospel before you can obey the gospel. And he is, you know, speaking to the hearers that are not the doers of the gospel. So they may, you know, hear the gospel preached, or hear, you know, hear a sermon, or, you know, even read the word. But if they're not walking in that, if they're just a hearer and a doer, and he's saying, you know, what is the end? And then it goes on and says, and if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? And you know, I saw that he's calling, you know, he's saying the righteous are scarcely saved. And that scarcely means with difficulty or hardly, with much work. So the disciples walking holy or right before God are hardly saved. And, you know, what does that have to say with the once saved, always saved doctrine? You know, where he's saying these, you know, these holy, you know, disciples are scarcely saved. It says, where shall the ungodly and sinners appear? And Webster's definition of ungodly is, you know, wicked, impious, neglecting the fear of God and worship of God. So it's neglecting the fear of God and neglecting the worship of God and violating his commandments. Sinful, contrary to the divine commands, polluted by wickedness. So how many so-called Christians have no fear of God, or, you know, worship self instead of God, and walk contrary to the word of God? And that's a lot of the church. And that's why the judgment starts first at the house of God. And 19 goes on and says, wherefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator. So it is committing our souls, which is, you know, our mind of the flesh, our self-will, onto the faithful Creator. And, you know, that is, you know, suffering in the flesh, you know, putting to death the flesh, and it's all according to the will of God. And that's really, you know, where the fiery trials come in. And, this Milton Green goes on to say, the fiery trials today are the effort of the world, the flesh, and the devil to turn our hearts away from God. And he's seeing the trials, you know, I was seeing here that he was seeing the trials, you know, coming of the world, flesh, and the devil, but, you know, I don't know if he sees the fullness of the sovereignty of God in the trials, and that they are from him to sanctify us from the world, you know, sanctify us from the flesh, and, you know, sanctify us from the evil as far as that. But it's, you know, it's definitely, you know, a fiery trial. He says, every man will either come through the fire and be like precious gold. And that precious gold, he's saying, is with the divine nature. And I'm seeing that nature is, you know, Christ manifested in us. And that's the whole idea of those fires, is to bring forth that precious gold, you know, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And he says, or else he will be a vessel of wood, hay, and stubble, which is burned up. When the pressures and trials come, if we strike back at others, we break God's law and give that fiery serpent ground to build strongholds and destroy us. If anyone has a foundation built upon a carnal doctrine, they have a false security. The fire will destroy all of those who walk after a form of godliness, because they walk in disobedience. Anyone who stands on their carnal doctrines as a foundation is not standing on the word of God. Their foundation is sand. They themselves are wood, hay, and stubble. And in the fiery test, the fire will consume them, because they have no hedge of protection from God. No other foundation except the Lord Jesus Christ can survive this fire. And Luke in 6:49 says, but he that heareth and does not is like a man that builds a house upon the earth without a foundation. And you know, I just see that as there's a lot out there that have built their house without a foundation. They build it on the earth. They build it on the world, you know, what this world offers them. And they build them on a Balaam doctrine. And they have no foundation. So they have no foundation against which the stream break, and straightway it fell in, and the ruin of the house was great. So he's saying, everyone who follows after a doctrine that does not conform then to godliness is destroyed. When you have a false security, you do not act on the word of God. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, but if any man buildeth on the foundation, gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire, and the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. And 11 says, for other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This is why we need the true apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. As in Ephesians 4 and 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, and I know that's perfect, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slay of man in craftiness after the wiles of error. And he goes on to say, God has been testing the hearts of men since the day he put Adam in the garden. He offered Adam the tree of life or the tree of death. God still tests the heart of all creation. Only the ones who love the Lord with all their hearts and put their faith and trust in him will survive the fiery tests of this world. All others will break God's laws and be under the punishment and judgment of the law because their hearts love idols more than God. 2 Peter 2 and 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of defilement and despise dominion, daring, self-willed, they tremble not to rail at dignities. He says, we either resist the flesh and the temptation of Satan, or else we walk after the desires of the flesh in unrighteousness, in which case we stand under the judgment and punishment of God's law. Jesus said in Revelations 1, I know thy works, that thou hast named, that thou livest and thou art dead. But be thee thou watchful. He's saying there, wake up and establish the things that remain, which were ready to die. For I have found no works of thine perfected before my God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and did hear. And that's, you know, that's the word of God. That's the gospel that he's, you know, that we've received and did hear. And he goes on and says, then keep it and repent. So we need to receive it, keep it, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief. And that's the judgment right there. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And verse 5 says, he that overcometh, and that's overcoming the world, overcoming the flesh, overcoming the temptations, you know, of the enemy, he says, shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He goes on to say, Jesus is coming first like a thief in destruction. Jesus did not come the way the religious leaders expected him the first time. Neither will he come the way the religious leaders expect him this time either. Isaiah 42 says, hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I send? Who is blind as he that is at peace with me, and blind as the Lord's servant? It pleased the Lord for his righteousness' sake to magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and plundered. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. And those prison houses are the powers of darkness. You know, it's got them bound up. They are for a prey, and none delivereth. For a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who is there among you that will give ear to this, that will hearken and hear for the time to come, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to be robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned, and in whose ways they would not walk, neither were they obedient unto his law? That's what we're talking about, is obedience. And in whose ways they would not walk, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he poured upon him the fierceness of his anger and the strength of battle, and it set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him. Yet he laid it not to heart. So he goes on to say, the sleeping church is being destroyed today, and they don't even know it. They will scoff at warnings such as this. The fire of destruction are already being poured out among us. The scriptures are not enough to lead most of these people out of darkness. That is the reason that only a remnant can hear. And I've been seeing that the remnant is a very small group of people compared to the body of Christ. And it's only the remnant that can hear right now. The others will not wake up. For them, it is business as usual. And Luke 17 says, likewise, even as it came to pass in the day of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. After the same manner shall it be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Luke 3:3 says, whosoever shall seek to gain his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I say unto you, in the night, and that's a form of great spiritual darkness, there shall be two men on one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. And what he's saying here is the one that shall be taken is by the fire. And they answered, say unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, where the body is, or the dead body, thither will the eagle or the vulture also be gathered together. The birds of heaven, which are the powers of darkness. This is how Jesus comes as a thief upon a spiritually dead congregation that will not wake up and repent in these last days. The hedge is lowered and no longer restrains the hordes of the powers of darkness, which have been unleashed against the spiritually dead, fallen away church. If you read the scriptures through the eye of a carnal doctrine, you will be led to believe that the men who are taken from the bed or out of the field are raptured rather than destroyed by the fire. And I saw that it's kind of an interesting way of looking at it, you know, as far as that the one that is taken is because of the fire, because of the wrath of God. And they think they're just the righteous are all going to fly away. So I thought this was an awesome way of looking at it. This is how the deception and the darkness have come upon us today. This is why people are being burned and they pay no attention. This is a fallen away church today, which practices sin and lawlessness. The remnant will love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their hearts. They will be perfected in love and holiness. No one will be able to counterfeit the love that is perfected in the remnant. You will know them by their fruits. The stumbling blocks will also be evident, and they will be destroyed. Matthew 13 says, another parable set he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that soweth a good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Tares are evident because they bear the fruit of the flesh. And I was seeing actually tares bear no fruit. They look just like the wheat, but have no fruit on them. Now the works of the flesh are manifested. When we practice the deeds of the flesh, we bear the wrong fruit and break God's law. This is how men who teach doctrines that do not conform you to godliness lead you to walk under the judgment and curse of the law. This is how the church is being destroyed in the fire today. They have no fear of God as they teach a form of godliness and become a stumbling block to others. The blind follow the blind and never bear the fruit of love. In fact, they cannot because they are tares. And Matthew 13 says, as therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling, and then that do iniquity. And that's, you know, basically them practicing sin. Matthew 49 goes on, 13:49 goes on, so shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and serve the wicked from among the righteous, sever the wicked from among the righteous, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that gnashing of teeth is the hate and the anger and the bitterness and the sickness and the pain and everything that this world offers. And Matthew 13:4 says, when then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father? He that hath ears, let them hear. He's saying that there's hundreds of different denominations and teachings in the country today, and each one has its own form of righteousness. And I was really seeing it, you know, that's so true. They all think they're right. You know, they're all right in their own mind. They're all right in their own doctrine. They're all right in their own thinking. But they think they're right, but they're not right with God. It doesn't line up with God's word. And he says, but there's only one true righteousness, and that is walking right in God's eyes. When we establish our own righteousness, we do not submit to the righteousness of God. Israel departed from the law and righteousness of God to establish their own righteousness. Paul said in Romans 10, brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them, that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. And when the wicked thinks he is righteous in his own eyes, there is no fear of God. He is blinded to the judgment of God because he has a false security. This is how millions are blinded to the judgment of the law today. Isaiah 51:7, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye dismayed at their revilings. For the moth, or the powers of darkness, shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like a wool. but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation unto all generations. The righteousness of God stands forever because only the righteous will survive. God has set up the laws to destroy those who are wise in their own eyes and will not submit to the righteousness of God. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, yet can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. And, you know, so he's just saying that, you know, his disciples are walking in God's agape love and is the proof of discipleship, that they're manifesting the love of Christ, that they're walking in his love. Jesus set us free from being slaves of sin and lawlessness to become slaves of righteousness and have pure hearts. And Romans 6 says, I speak after the manner of men because of thy infirmity of your flesh. For as ye presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness, unto sanctification. And that sanctification is holiness and a pure heart. And Paul goes on to say in 21, what fruit then had ye at the time in the things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification and the end eternal life. Through obedience we have a pure heart and we are perfected in love to the fullness of the measures of the statures which belong to Christ. When the Word of God and the Holy Spirit have removed the selfish nature of Satan or our selfish nature of the flesh, we no longer live for ourselves, therefore we have the nature of God and love others as Jesus loved us. We have laid down our lives so we can walk in God's kind of love. And 1 Corinthians 13 says, love suffers long and is kind, envious not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own, and that's its own way or with conditions, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoices not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. And that's God's kind of godly love. It never fails, and that's what we need to walk in. So I just found this. I thought it pretty much lined up with we're seeing. But I thought the awesome thing that he brought forth was just seeing that the one taken, you know, was by the fire and by the wrath of God, and not being raptured out of here and escaping the wrath of God. So I thought that was a cool revelation. All right, we're kind of running out of time here. So is there anybody who's got needs any last-minute prayer or anything before we close out? All right, let's pray. So, Father, we just thank you for another just awesome night of fellowship, and just thank you for all that you're doing in everybody's life, Lord. Lord, help us to walk right before you, not right in our own mind. Let us walk, you know, right with the word, what you're showing us. Let us be obedient to you. Let us be compliant to what you're showing us. Teach us just to continue to put this old flesh to death and to be set apart from the world and set apart from this flesh and set apart unto you, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for just working in all of us to be well-pleasing to you, and to walk in your will and not in our will. So, Lord, we just thank you for blessing everybody this week. We thank you for your protection over them. We thank you for just putting a hunger for your word and a boldness to speak what you're showing them, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you're doing in everybody's life. Just bless everybody and just guide them in these days to come. And if there's anything that is not pleasing to you, just expose it. And, we just thank you for just giving us grace and mercy. We just thank you for all that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Could I ask a request?
You sure can.
I would love for the body to pray for Oklahoma's healing. I would appreciate that if y'all would add that to your prayer list. That just thank you for healing Oklahoma, spirit, soul, and body.
Amen. So, Father, we believe with Linda, and Lord, we just thank you for putting that on our heart to just continue to pray for Oklahoma and that you're going to heal that part of the country, Lord. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, good night, everybody. We love you guys, and we'll see you next Tuesday.